It's Pastor D.A. Wake, pastor of the Bible for Today Baptist Church in Collinswood, New Jersey. We're here at Tewaco, New Jersey at the Evangelical Seminary for the classes on 1st and 2nd Chronicles. This is the 18th of January, 2010. This is a check to see if everything's working properly. All right, we'll begin. Let's open with a word of prayer, shall we? Our God, we thank Thee for Thy grace. We thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ who loved us and died for us. Guide us and direct us in our class today and tomorrow, Thursday up to Thursday and Friday. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Alright, we have the first verse that we want to use for our class, and that is Romans 15:4. Since this is in the Old Testament, our class, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, we must understand why we who are born again and saved should refer to the Old Testament. I don't know the class, but I assume that all of you are born again, saved, and redeemed. That's what Dr. Ying Huang said last evening, that you're all saved, Christian people. If you're not saved, you will not be able to understand everything in Scripture. But in Romans 15:4, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Paul said, Old Testament is for our learning as Christians in the New Testament. We're not under the law, the Old Testament law of Moses is for saved and Christians today. But all the things written in the Old Testament were for us, for our learning. That we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. The second purpose for Old Testament study is 1 Corinthians 10:11.
那么第二点呢，就是那个罗马，那个灵前十章十一节。
Whatsoever things happened aforetime, that's the Old Testament.
这个也是讲到旧约，就是那个哥林多前书的第十章十一节。
Happened to them for examples. For examples and in samples.
就是要教训我们，境界。
And they're written for our admonition.
为着要教训我们。
Written for our warning.
对着我们的警告,
so that we don't stumble and fail as they failed in the Old Testament. Upon whom the ends of the world are come.
就是这个末世的人。
We have 65 chapters altogether to cover in this week.
我们这个礼拜一期要研究差不多有65章。
29 chapters in 1 Chronicles, 36 in 2 Chronicles, and so we'll schedule about 2 or 3 chapters every single session. And we'll have 50 minute classes, for 50 minutes classes, then we'll have 10 minute break. And when the bell rings to come back after the break, you must be prompt. Come back after the break. So, the schedule we want to look at for Monday today, we'll take the first 3 chapters this morning at 9 o'clock session.
这个9点钟这一堂课呢，我们要上。
10 o'clock, we'll take chapters 4 and 5.
接下去我们会看第四、第五章。
11 o'clock, chapters 6 and 7.
11点钟是6跟第七章。
And then after lunch at 1 o'clock, we take chapters 8 and 9.
1点钟的时候我们就研究第八章、第九章。
And then at 2 o'clock, chapters 10 and 11. 3 o'clock, chapters 12 and 13.
3:00
4 o'clock, chapters 14 and 15.
4:00
Obviously, we cannot cover every word, every verse. So we'll take it in a synthetic way. Let's begin. We're going to chapter 1, 1 Chronicles chapter 1. Notice genealogies. People, names, and children and grandchildren. Also, I want to tell you that 1st and 2nd Chronicles deals with the southern two tribes of Judah and Benjamin. 1st and 2nd Kings deals with the northern kingdoms and the southern kingdom.
1st
and 2nd Chronicles is zeroed in on just the southern kingdom of Judah and Benjamin.
代上代下,
那专是研究那个, 南国, so notice verse 1 starts with Adam. Verse 4, Noah has the sons Shem, Ham, and Japheth.
然后第四节就讲到那个挪亚,
then from verses 5 to 7, the sons of Japheth.
然后第五节到第七节讲到耶利和的,
those are the Gentile nations. Then verses 8 to 16, the sons of Ham.
8节到第16节讲到那个,
those are the dark races, the black races. And verses 17 and following, the sons of Shem.
然后17节,
those are the Shemite races, the Jewish line. And verse 27, you see Abram, or change his name to Abraham.
然后第27节讲到亚伯兰,
and then you see the son of the sons of Abraham. Verse 34, you have Isaac and Esau. Esau and Jacob, I should say, Esau and Jacob.
Yep.
So that's the pedigree there. Then go to chapter 2. And it gives you the sons of Israel, the founder, or Jacob. Notice the 12 sons are listed. And I have Reuben the firstborn. You see in verse 1, and then here's Simeon, and Levi, and Judah. And Issachar, Zebulun, Dan. In verse 2, you have Joseph and Benjamin. Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. So all the sons of Israel are given, verse 12. And then we go with the sons of Judah, verse 3 of chapter 2, Judah. Skipping down to verse 12, you have Boaz and Obed begat Jesse, and finally in verse 15, Jesse begat David. So this is the line of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It came from David. And the sisters were Zeruiah in verse 16, Zeruiah and Abigail. David's sisters. All right, let's skip over to page 4 of our notes, to chapter 3. And we go into the sons of David again in verse 1. We start with Hebron. And notice in verse 4, the 6 sons of David that were born there in Hebron. He reigned 33 years, 7 years in Hebron, and 33 years in Jerusalem, 40 years David reigned. And notice in verse 5, the sons that were born in Jerusalem. Shimei, Shobab, Nathan, and Solomon. And then he goes on in verse number 6 with Elishama and Eliphelet and Nophath and Nephet and Japhia, Elishama, Elida, Eliphelet, 9 altogether there. So 6 in Hebron, 9 in Jerusalem, 15 sons over there. Then it goes to, especially the son of David, in verse 10, Solomon. His son was Rehoboam, and Abiah, and Asa, and Jehoshaphat. So then over in verse number chapter 4 and verse number 15 we have Caleb.
He's
an important son of David, the lineage. So we have come through to the end of chapter 1, 2, and 3, which we normally had to deal with for the first hour, so we have a few more minutes to run. So let's see some of the things we'll be discussing. That's Friday, let's see here, Thursday, Friday, alright. In 1 Chronicles, we see the genealogies from Adam to King Saul. That's probably should bring this over a little bit so I could use it and I could be closer to where I'm here.
Oops.
Put this over like this. Try again. I'll just sit down here just a little bit closer to my computer. I still think we can hear it all right, if I can hold that thing. So we have 1 Chronicles genealogies, Adam to King Saul. Now that's fairly boring. Nothing to say, just names. The names are important. Every one of your names is important. Even if I cannot pronounce them. So we're glad that people's names are in the scriptures. And that's 1 to 9, all genealogies. So we'll deal with that quite a few this morning. But starting with chapter 10, we come with Saul's overthrow and death. We'll learn many lessons from Saul. Mostly bad lessons. We can learn from mistakes as well as from good things. That is, we should learn from bad things. Many people do not learn from evil things and bad things. And then in 1 Chronicles 11 through 29, David becomes king. We'll see his reign and his mighty men in chapter 11. We'll see his followers who made him king in chapter 12. We'll see his sin in bringing up the ark of God the wrong way, chapter
13.
God's methods are important. Not just to do what God says, but do it in the way he says it to do. And David's prosperity in chapter 14. In chapter 15, we'll see David bringing up the ark in a proper way. Then chapter 16, we'll see David's sacrifice and thanksgiving. And then chapter 17 is desire to build a temple. Chapter 18 is kingdom is fully established. Chapter 19 is wars with the Ammonites and Assyrians.
19章 讲到大卫跟那个亚门人跟那个叙利亚人打战。
Chapter 20, David goes over to the Philistines, the enemies of the Lord.
然后20章呢，那个大卫跟那个非利士人打战。
He learned some things there, some things he did that were not too good.
我们也从这一章当中，我们也学习到很多宝贵的功课。
Chapter 21, we see his sin in numbering the people.
然后21章讲到他的犯罪，因为他输别那个百姓。
God said, "Don't number the people," and David didn't care what God said. He said, "Go ahead."
那个大卫没有听从上帝的话语，他还是去这些输别这些百姓。
And David was punished severely for that sin.
因为他这样犯罪呢，他得到很大的惩罚。
In chapter 22, David numbers and prepares for the temple.
然后22章呢，那个大卫准备要盖这个圣殿。
And then chapter 23, David makes Solomon the king.
然后那个23章讲到大卫立那个所罗门做王。
Then in chapter 24, David's divisions of the priests.
然后24章讲到这些祭司的班次。
And then chapter 25, David's singers.
第25章讲到大卫的诗班。
And chapter 26, David's porters and officers.
26章讲到大卫的这些守门的跟这些职员。
Chapter 27, David's captains and princes.
然后讲到27章讲到他的那个族长跟这些王子。
Chapter 28, David's counsel to Solomon and the temple.
然后28章讲到那个大卫对所罗门的境界跟关于这个圣殿的事情。
And chapter 29, David's exhortation to his people.
然后29章就讲到大卫对他的百姓的劝告。
Then in 2 Chronicles, we move to 2 Chronicles.
到那个代下的时候。
And we'll start that on Wednesday, I believe. And the first 9 chapters are Solomon's reign. In chapter 1, his vision of the Lord. Then chapter 2, his temple that he's going to be building. And chapter 3 and 4, also Solomon's temple. Chapter 5, the ark is brought in. Chapter 6, Solomon's sermon. Chapter 7, sacrifice and rejoicing. Chapter 8, Solomon's fame. Chapter 9, the Queen of Sheba.
然后第九章讲到施巴的女王。
And then chapters 10 to 12, Rehoboam's reign.
然后讲到第十章的时候，进入第十章是罗伯安的王的时候。
That's Solomon's son.
这是所罗门的儿子。
He was very foolish.
他是很愚蠢的。
Some sons are foolish.
有一些儿子是愚蠢。
Some sons are wise.
有一些很聪明。
And verses of chapter 10, his ascension, Rehoboam's ascension to the throne.
然后讲到那个罗伯安他上位。
And then chapter 11, Rehoboam and Jeroboam.
然后11章讲到罗伯安跟耶罗伯安的事情。
Did I say Jeroboam here? Yes, missed chapter 10 is Jeroboam. He was Solomon's servant.
这个是所罗门的那个仆人是那个耶罗波安第十章十二到第十九节。
And Rehoboam and Jeroboam together in chapter 11.
他们一起是耶罗波安跟罗波安是十一章。
Chapter 12, Rehoboam, son of Solomon's apostasy.
然后讲到罗波安的悖逆或是他的离道。
He forsook the counsel of the older men and took the younger men's counsel very foolishly.
他听从那些老人家的劝勉。
Then in chapter 13, Rehoboam's son Abijah and his reign.
讲到亚比亚十三章.
Chapter 14, Asa's reign.
亚撒十四章到第十六章.
And then 2 Chronicles, Asa's victory over Zerah.
然后亚撒在那个谢拉的那个地方的胜.
And Asa makes. Warned, makes reforms. He's warned and makes reforms.
亚撒在那边被警告，然后他在那边做一些革新，就是说革命哈，做一些新的东西。
And Asa's war is in death.
然后他的政商征战和死亡。
In chapter 17 to 20, Jehoshaphat's reign.
然后17章到20章讲到约沙发。
Chapter 17, Jehoshaphat's revival.
讲到约沙发的兴旺以及他的
Chapter 18, Jehoshaphat's pact with Ahab, the wicked king of Israel.
然后约沙发跟那个亚哈立约，这个是不好的王亚哈。
In chapter 19, Jehoshaphat rebuked and restored.
然后约沙发呢，他在那边被责备，然后他那个敬拜就会恢复。
And then chapter 20, Jehoshaphat's compromise.
然后约沙发的那个妥协。
Chapter 21, Jehoram's reign and disease.
然后第21章呢，讲到约兰，他得到那个绝症。
Chapter 22, Ahaziah's reign.
然后亚哈谢他坐位是22章。
Chapter 22, Athaliah's reign.
然后22章呢，讲到亚他利亚坐位。
That's a woman that usurped authority.
这个是女王。
And then chapters 23 and 24, Joash's reign.
然后23到24章讲到约阿斯作为。
Chapter 23, Joash's early years and revival.
然后25章讲到亚玛谢。
Chapter 24, Joash's problems and weakness.
对不起，23章讲到那个约阿斯做王的时候头几年。然后把那个亚他利亚把他杀死，然后24章讲到这些问题。
And in chapter 25, Amaziah's reign.
25章讲到亚玛谢。
In chapter 26, Uzziah's reign.
然后约西亚。
And 27, Jotham's reign.
然后27章讲到约旦。
Chapter 28, Ahaz's reign.
然后28章讲到亚哈斯。
Chapter 29 to 32, Hezekiah's reign.
29章到32章讲到七夕家。
Chapter 29, Hezekiah's revival.
然后讲到29章讲到七夕家的复兴。
Chapter 30, Passover preparations.
然后30章讲到准备过那个逾越节。
Chapter 31, idols destroyed.
31章讲到这些偶像被毁灭。
Second Chronicles, Hezekiah's prayer and illness.
32章讲到七夕家的祷告以及他的疾病。
Chapter 33, Manasseh's reign.
然后马拿西做王的时候33章。
Also 33, Amon's reign.
33章的下半段呢，讲到亚门。
35 and 34, Josiah's reign.
然后33到34章讲到约西亚。
34, Josiah's reforms and reparations.
然后34章讲到他的改革，以及他修理那个圣殿。
Chapter 35, Josiah keeps the Passover.
然后35章讲到那个约西亚守这个逾越节。
Chapter 36, Jehoaz's reign.
然后36章讲到约阿斯。
Then Jehoiakim's reign.
然后36章讲到约雅敬。
Then Jehoiachin's reign.
然后36章的第八节到第十节讲到约雅敬。
And then Zedekiah's reign.
最后呢？
So that gives you the picture of where we're going. Do you have any questions? Yes, ma'am.
Who wrote First and Second Chronicles?
Who wrote First and Second Chronicles? Probably. We're not told specifically, probably one of the priests of that day. We're not really sure with the name, so that's concerned, but probably one of the priests. Other questions or comments you may have?
Others say that it's Ezra.
Maybe. Ezra? Could be. Because at the end of the Second Chronicles, they're in the king of Persia, and they're going over to Jerusalem again, and that's where Ezra begins, Ezra and Nehemiah, at the end of Second Chronicles. So that's entirely possible. Because Ezra was a priest, I believe, and a scribe. Other questions or comments before we continue? All right, we have come up to our three chapters, so let's proceed and go a little bit longer in our morning session. For these genealogies? If you go over to chapter 5, sons of Reuben, the firstborn, of course, of Israel. Now, Reuben got into trouble. In verse 1, it says, he defiled his father's bed. He committed incest with his father's concubine. And God took away his birthright. This is an example that we should not follow this man's steps in any of our endeavors. Some things in our own activities that we do can forfeit much of God's blessing. So the birthright was given to the sons of Joseph, the son of Israel. Now notice number 2, verse number 2 of chapter 5. Judah prevailed above his brethren. And it's through Judah's line that the Lord Jesus came, if you remember.
The line of Judah.
And he was chief ruler, but the birthright was Joseph's. The number of Joseph was one that was persecuted by his brethren. They hated his Joseph because his father loved him more than the other children. The father made a great mistake favoring one son among 12. Sometimes fathers and mothers make mistakes by favoring one above another. And so the father gave Joseph a multicolored coat, many colors. So the brothers wanted to kill him. And so they pretended that they killed him by putting the coat with the blood of an animal and sending it back to his father. And Reuben the firstborn, the one who was the sinner with his father's concubine, Reuben interceded, said, don't kill the young boy, let's sell him to someone else. He sold him some people going down to Egypt. So Reuben, who had the original birthright, saved Joseph, who now had the birthright. Then Joseph in Egypt saved all his brethren because of the famine. And if Joseph had not been sold into Egypt, if he had not followed the Lord in Egypt, the Lord would not have exalted him. But before the Lord exalted him, the Lord put him down into a dungeon. He was in the dungeon because he refused to have sex with his master's wife. The opposite of Reuben. And the wife who lied and said that Joseph approached her, when in effect she approached him, he was sent to prison. Before he was sent to prison, Pharaoh exalted Joseph above everything. But in prison, he interpreted a dream. Two dreams. The butler and the baker. And the butler was going to be killed. And the butler was going to be restored, rather. The baker was going to be killed. And for 2 years, Joseph said to the butler and baker, when you go back to Pharaoh, tell him about me. But they said nothing about him for 2 whole years.
Until
Pharaoh had a dream.
He
called all the different men to interpret that dream. And that's when the butler remembered Joseph. And he came, was exalted in the head of all the things of Egypt. And the dream was 7 years of famine, plenty first of all, then 7 years of famine. So to make a long story short, because we had land that had food in Egypt, because they had food in Egypt, Jacob and all of his brethren came from Canaan and were helped and were, so they survived. And because of that, the Lord Jesus could be born through Judah, because Judah was preserved, all because of Joseph and what happened to him. So, pardon me for the long story in verse 1, but Reuben lost his birthright and Judah got it, and then Joseph is the one that had the guy that Joseph got the birthright and was able to preserve all the Israelites alive. And then in chapter 6, you see the sons of Levi. He had three sons, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. Chapter. And Kohath was the one that was most important as far as the offerings and sacrifices. But they all had a task to do. And from Kohath came the priests, the priestly line. But in verse number 17, we see the sons of Gershon. And verse 19 of chapter 6, the sons of Merari.
Which verse?
Chapter 19, sons of Merari. And so these are some of the Levites, and the Levites helped the priests in their work. And then in verse number 48 of chapter 6, the brethren of the Levites were appointed unto all manner of service of the tabernacle of the house of God. So when the tabernacle was raised up by Moses, the Levites and the priests were those that did the work. And notice in verse 49, Aaron and his sons offered upon the altar of the burnt offering. Aaron was the older brother of Moses, remember? He was 3 years older. And they were appointed for the work of the place most holy and to make an atonement for Israel. Notice they were to make an atonement in verse number 40 according to all that Moses, the servant of God, had commanded. They were to follow the commands of the Lord when they made their atonement. And they made their offerings. And notice the sons of Aaron are listed in verse 50. Eleazar and Phinehas. And there's other sons as well that were given. The number two of the sons of Aaron died because they sinned. They offered incense that was wrong incense. Their names weren't listed, but they're Nadab and Abihu were the two sons that sinned. And Eleazar and Ithamar survived. And then in chapter 6 there, verse 55, you see the Kohathites, the families of the Kohathites. And 57, the sons of Aaron, the cities of Judah. Now, the Levites and the priests had no inheritance. The Lord inherited. Yeah. They didn't have any cities of their own. So they were sprinkled among all the different cities of Jerusalem, of Israel, all the different cities. See, all the other tribes had an inheritance. Certain place was Judah, certain place was Ithamar, and certain place was Gad and Dan and all the other places. But the tribe of Levi, one of the 12 tribes, had no specific place. They were scattered among all the different cities. North and south. They had 48 cities. And you see in chapter 7, excuse me, chapter 6 rather, in verse 57, the sons of Aaron had the cities of Judah. For instance, Hebron was one. That was a city of refuge. And the other cities are mentioned in the verses that follow. As far as the city of refuge, there are three cities of refuge on the east of Jordan and three on the west of Jordan. And the slayers, those that kill somebody, accidentally could flee to that city. So that the next of kin would not slay them. And they would be tried in that city of refuge. If it was found that they committed murder, first degree murder, purposely, they would be slain. If it were found that they had accidentally killed someone, just accidentally, they would be spared. But they would be remaining in that city for life until the death of the high priest. As long as the high priest lived, they had to stay in that city of refuge. When the high priest died, they could leave and go back home. So these three cities of refuge on the east, three cities of refuge on the west, six cities, it gives you a total of cities here of the Levites. Notice in chapter 6, verse 60, the suburbs, the families, 13 cities were listed. Remember 13 cities there. And then verse number 61, you see 10 cities. And you see verse 62, 13 cities. That's tribe of Asher. And then notice in verse 63, 12 more cities. So you add up the cities that the Levites had, 13, 10, 13, 12 equals 48. So 48 cities they had. The Levites had a very important job to do. They were to teach the Bible, the Word of God, the Old Testament, to the people of Israel. They were to be pure, they were to be holy, they were to be upright, just like preachers and pastors should be holy and upright today. This was God's plan. And when the northern tribes departed from Israel, and Jeroboam, the wicked king, took over, the Levites fled from the north and went down to the south. And Jeroboam, the servant of Solomon, appointed other Levites, priests that were not in the line of Levi. Now notice in verse 67, the city of refuge is Shechem, is a city of refuge, Shechem. In verse 72, Kedesh is a city of refuge. In verse 80, Ramoth in Gilead is a city of refuge. So the six cities of refuge are Golan, Ramoth, and Besar. Those are in the east of Jordan. And Kadesh, Hebron, and Shechem were in the west of Jordan. So God's order was established very clearly. And then the sons of, it mentions in verse number 1 of chapter 1, sons of Issachar, mentioned, chapter 7, verse 1. And verse 6, the sons of Benjamin. Verse 13, the sons of Naphtali. Verse 14, the sons of Manasseh. And chapter 8, verse 1, the sons of Benjamin. And so chapter 9, verse 1. All Israel were reckoned by genealogies. Notice it says, behold, they were written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah, who were carried away to Babylon for the transgression. And we'll see that the whole sons of Judah were disobedient. The tribe, the 72 tribes were disobedient, carried into Babylon captivity. And so in chapter 9 in verse 22, there were porters for the gates that were chosen.
And
in verse 35, there was Gibeon. And one of the sons in verse 36 is Kish. And Kish is the father of Saul. In chapter 9 there, verse 39, there's Ner and Kish again is mentioned, and Kish begat Saul. Notice in verse 39. So we're going to begin with Saul in our next hour. Before we do, we'd just like to go through the different kings of the southern kingdom. If you take your in your booklet there, you'll see the listing of the kings in your booklet, the rulers. And if you include Solomon and Rehoboam, and David, you have 22 kings. But if you just count from the divided kingdom, that would start with Rehoboam. So if you count the kings as we do, they're all in bold letters, you see them. I count 22 or 20 kings of the southern kingdom. You notice Rehoboam, then Abijah, then Asa. Let's see, I want to get the. It would be on your page, Roman number 4 of your notes. You see Roman number 4, Asa's reign, and then Jehoshaphat. Then Jehoram, and Ahaziah, and Athaliah, Joash, Amaziah, Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, and then Manasseh, and Amon, Josiah, and Jehoahaz, Jehoiakim, and Jehoiachin, and Zedekiah. Now we'll see in a class that some of the kings start out good. This is a good king. But not completely good. He did this bad and this bad and this bad. Other kings, evil. Only evil. Nothing good. But we'll see this as we move along. Now, do you have some questions or comments before? Yes, ma'am.
I'm confused. You said, are there 20 or 22 kings in the southern?
Well, if you don't count David and Solomon, you got 20. If you start with Rehoboam,
okay.
You see, David and Solomon were kings of north and south. But if you discount those two kings, start with Rehoboam, there's your split. There's your southern kingdom, see?
On the side.
So it would be 20. But I have 22 here if you count the two, David and Solomon. So the kings of both.
I have one more question.
Yes, ma'am.
Because you're talking about genealogy.
Yes.
So essentially started with the sons of Jacob.
And Adam actually. Start with Adam.
Okay. So, start with. But yeah. The
Israelites.
Israelites.
Yes.
Israelites were children of
Jacob. Uh-huh.
Now, priest.
Uh-huh.
But I want to distinguish priesthood. And Levi, priest and Levi,
mm-hmm.
Different
the
job, right?
Different job, but still are the sons of Jacob. Levi, sons of Jacob, and then from Levi, Aaron, and the other Aaron, all the priests.
Oh, so Aaron is
Levi.
Levi.
Uh-huh. And Moses is Levi also.
I thought Aaron is brother of Moses.
Yes, and Moses also is Levi.
Oh.
Levi, Moses was a Levite, and Aaron was a Levite. Tribe of Levi.
So priests and Levi are all Levites.
Levites, they're all Levites. All priests are Levites, but not all Levites are priests. Just the sons of Aaron. Other questions? Other questions? Yes, sir.
Yes, I have a question about chapter 6, the sons of Aaron. Two are mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
The two who are dead are not mentioned. Why are they not mentioned?
I don't know. Maybe because they're bad boys.
all because of they are dead.
They're dead, maybe so. Yeah, they refused to do it God's way. They took false incense, strange incense into the tabernacle. God slew them. Other question? Yes, ma'am.
Still continue, Aaron. So, are all the descendants of Aaron priests, or not all?
Yes, all the sons of Aaron are priests. All the sons of Aaron are priests. And the oldest son of Aaron would be high priest. When Aaron died, the oldest son would be the high priest.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yes, sir. What we should maybe do is take 10 and then bring questions. We'll start with questions next time, all right? We'll take 10 minute break.
Okay.
When you hear the bell ringing, come back, all right? Take 10. Even if you don't want to take 10, take it anyway. Relax. Other questions or comments that you might have?
I see page 7. You copied this, but I do not see your
Oh, on page 7?
Yeah, on the left. You put some notes.
Okay, let me see page 7, all right? Oh, yes. It's hard to read those notes, isn't it? I can't see the same thing. Go ahead. I don't know what that note says. I bound my own in the side, so I couldn't see.
I think you wrote, is it Monday or what? Something like that?
Oh, that's the date. Yeah, the date. That's the date. It's when the time of the date. That's what it is, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. In other words, the schedule for 5 and 6. At 10 o'clock it's supposed to end at the 5th chapter, and 11 o'clock it's supposed to begin the 6th chapter. I think that's what it was,
okay.
The timing.
That's not important.
No, I don't think that's important. That's just the schedule. Other question you may have?
Chapter 5, verse 1. Is there a difference between the verse 5 about Reuben? His birthright was given to Joseph, and
yep.
Then the line of his, he's the eldest son, right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Is there a difference between the birthright and another phrase that you mentioned something about? Yeah, but according to the genealogy, he's
uh-huh.
still the eldest son, right?
He's still eldest son, but he lost his birthright. Birthrights get double portion. And so now Joseph gets double portion. Ephraim and Manasseh,
mm-hmm.
two sons, they're exalted. Yeah. Is there any other question happen? Okay. Other question. Oh, you found them all, eh? You got them? Did you get copies on? Copies? And did you give them for Barbara? You got them? Okay, good. That's fine. Well, you got some copies there for you, Guy. This is Guy Crowder and Nan Crowder, and this is Barbara Crowder, friends of ours from our church. They live close by, so they said they'd like to come and listen. So please greet them after class.
Yeah.
Any other question before we continue? All right. We're starting with sons of Kish. Remember, we stopped at chapter 9, the top, chapter 9 and verse number 39. That's a page number 14. Page 14. At the very top, 39, Ner begat Kish. So these And then fish begat Saul. Page 14, notes page 14. And Saul and his begat Jonathan and Malchishua and Medadab and Ishbael. So as you know, God chose Saul to be the king. Samuel was the one who was the judge at first. And God ruled through judges, not kings, to start with. And the people came to Samuel and said, "We want a king like everybody else." Samuel didn't think it was right to have a king. Kings will take your money, they take your taxes, they take your children. They put them to work. That's not good. But God said, "All right, let them have their wishes, let them have a king." And so the king that they selected was King Saul. King Saul was a very bad king, but he was a very tall king, head and shoulders above everyone else in that area. And so they looked at the sight of the eye instead of the heart. God chose David later because God saw the heart. And God does not see as man sees, he looks upon the heart. So Saul was the king, and we open up in chapter 10 with the battle with the Philistines in verse number 2. Even though Saul was big and large and high and a warrior, he still had enemies. And Saul went out against the Philistines in verse 2. And they followed after Saul. And they slew Jonathan and Abinadab and Malchishua, the sons of Saul. They killed him. And the battle went against Saul, and the archers hit him and wounded him. In verse number 3. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Little sister. Okay. A different voice. Okay. And so notice what Saul did. He said to his armor bearer, "What? What did he tell his armor bearer to do?" So he said, "Draw by sword and run me through. I'm sore wounded." Did Saul's armor bearer do that? No, he took the sword and fell upon it, committed suicide, and died. And the armor bearer saw that his master was dead. He did the same thing. He fell on the sword and died. So in verse 6, Saul died and his three sons and his house, they all died together. And they forsook the cities and they fled, all the Israelites. And the Philistines came and ruled over them. Notice in verse 9 what the Philistines did. They stripped him, Saul, took off his head and his armor. And they put his head and the armor and the house of their gods, and the head in the temple of Dagon. Dagon was a half fish and half man. He was a half god. And then notice in verse 12, they took away the body of Saul. This is the men of Jabesh Gilead. They heard what the Philistines had done to Saul in verse 11. And these valiant men from Jabesh Gilead took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons, brought them to Jabesh. And notice what they did with the bodies of Saul and his brother. They buried their bones. The Jews believed in burial. The Christians believe in burial in the New Testament. They don't cremate their dead. They don't burn them up. The heathen burn their dead.
The Hindus, cremation, right?
Is it?
The
Christians should not have cremation.
So,
the burial. All the Old Testament, all the New Testament, this one died, was buried. This one died, was buried. This one died, was buried. Lord Jesus was buried in a tomb. No burning up. The burning up, the Hindus and the false gods of the people over there, and they put them on the burning piles and burn the bodies up.
So we should not encourage a Christian to have cremation, right?
We should not encourage Christians to have cremation. This right here, why did they bury them? Because that was the way Jews and the people of God believed was proper. Body to be buried. Even in Haiti today, mass burial, it's at 3,000, 7,000 on mass burial, but they're buried. So I'm just doing a little bit of muddling here. Putting my nose in other people's business, maybe. Maybe you believe in cremation and burning up bodies. I don't know. But God does not. Sure, it's cheaper to burn yourself up and take ashes. Cheaper.
It
doesn't take much room. Put them in a little jar, throw them out. But it's neither Jewish nor Christian. It's not biblical. So, yes sir, question, yes, go ahead.
Doesn't have influence on your salvation?
No, does not have influence on salvation. No works really. Other question.
If a church member insists on cremation, how should you go about it?
Try to talk him out of it. If possible, try to talk him out of it. Some people insist on burial and their friends cremate them and burn them up. Nothing they can do. The first, when I was a pastor in Massachusetts, I remember my first funeral. I went to the person's home where the body was laid out. We had the service. And I was later told afterwards that that body was going to be cremated and burned. Nobody bothered to tell me ahead of time. It was a strange feeling. That was my first head-to-head experience with cremation. So I just wanted to point that out and stress that the Israelites, these Jabesh-Gilead men, knew that the head should not be in the temple, the body should not be strung up in the heathen place. Mrs. Wade, this is my wife back there at the camera. If you didn't meet her before, Mrs. Wade. Yes, she has a question or a comment. Go ahead, honey. Yes, let me tell you about our morticians, the people who bury bodies. My uncle was a mortician. The body bearer, funeral director, funeral man. No, my uncle was a mortician, so I've been with morticians. But one time we called our mortician to see about what he thought about cremation. This was a man that lived in our city, Collingswood, New Jersey. And they said, do you cremate bodies in your mortuary where you bury? He said, oh yes we do. And I said, would you describe what happens?
Well,
you put it in a very big oven and heat that thing way up here and let's burn that thing up and take away the ashes. I think he said the bones had to be crushed a little bit, but the body would mostly be ashes. And then we asked the funeral director, are you going to be cremated when you die? We get very pointed questions sometimes. He said, no. No cremation for me. He cremates others, but not himself. In fact, I think one time we went to see the body, the grave where Fanny Crosby was buried.
And
the blind hymn writer. And she was buried in Connecticut, honey, was it? Yeah, and we went to the mortuary on that particular grave site. And we saw the crematory on that grave site. In the cemetery, where the cemetery was. That's where they, and there was a man who was there and said, "Would you show us the crematory? Show us where you burn up these bodies." And he showed us these three different I think there were three places where they could put the bodies and burn them up. And we asked him, I said, have you seen the bodies being burned in these crematories? Oh yes, I see, I do this. This is my job. We asked him also, are you going to be cremated when you die? Not me. No. So that's an interesting story, isn't it? Do as I say, but don't do as I do. See? Don't do as I do. All right. So, any other questions before? Yes, ma'am.
Because you said in the Old Testament, the temple, the gate was, they did that way, they buried.
No.
But is it specific law in Old Testament, and it's specific the lesson? Teaching in New Testament says you're not supposed to be cremated.
Well, the specific question in the Old Testament may be not specific. But the Old Testament, by example, is clear. If you take your computer and look up the word buried, in the Old Testament and in the New, you find that was the way people did after death. So there was no particular law of Moses in the Old Testament or specific about it, but the practice was there. And in the New Testament, for instance, in the book of Acts, chapter 5. When Ananias and Sapphira sinned against the Lord. They lied about the land that they had sold. They didn't have to give all the money to the church. But they implied that they gave all the money that they received from the sale. They lied, they kept back some. There's nothing wrong with keeping back, but they should have told the disciples, we just gave part, not all. So when the disciples knew the lie, God was displeased because they lied against the Holy Ghost. And God slew Ananias, the husband. When his wife came in later and didn't know anything about it, did you sell it for so much? Yes, the same lie. The same year as the whole thing, but just a part. And so she was slain also. And in chapter 5 of Acts, verse 10, then fell she down straightway at his feet. This is his wife, Sapphira. And yielded up the ghost. And the young man came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. So both Ananias was buried and Sapphira was buried. It's a practice. The Lord Jesus was buried. As it says in 1 Corinthians 15, this is the gospel that was given. Christ died for our sins and was buried. The third day he rose again. He was buried. In the book of Ephesians and Colossians, it says those of us who are saved are buried with him in baptism. So the whole gospel of death of Christ, the burial of Christ, the bodily resurrection of Christ, is part of the practice in Scripture. Other questions? Yes, sir.
In Revelation it states the grave and the sea gave up the bodies.
Yes.
But the sea, if something comes out of the sea, like fish, or it's scattered up, so it doesn't make difference if it's scattered in the sea or burned in ashes. So I think it doesn't, it's relative truth instead of absolute to be buried or to be cremated.
Possibly, absolute versus relative truth, but by example, the scripture would be there. One of the reasons people give for wanting to be cremated, is so that God would not be able to raise them up and send them to hell, the lake of fire. Because the unbelievers don't believe there's a hell, but they might be a hell, just the lake of fire, just possibly.
You mean the young believers?
No, the unbelievers. But just in case there is a lake of fire, if it's all dust, they don't believe God's able to take that dust and send that dust into hell for eternity. They don't believe that's possible. But God, who could take the dust and make the dust into Adam,
如果上帝能把那个尘土把它变成那个亚当
Can restore the dust and bring it back to bodies to send them to eternal hell, burning up for eternity.
上帝也能把这个尘土把它恢复，然后也可以下到。
Yes, sir.
Then I say, if I'm a Christian, I'm burned, I'm ashes, then God can raise me up.
Yes, He can. He's able.It's interesting in that regard. One of the sons of the Kennedys, you remember, was in a plane crash. John Kennedy. Yeah. And his plane went into the water. And so they dug him out of that water and brought him back. And when they brought him back, they burned him up and threw the ashes back into the water. Now let's just keep him there. Any other questions before we push it? Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir. I want to ask you, just say, that if we are Christians, we because we are in China, we are now preaching, we must live. That has what impact on Christians?
Okay, so in China, the practice is it should be cremated. So as Christian, what should we do about that?
Well, I don't know. Do they have burials at all in China? No. I guess you can't do anything about it. There's no rule. Yeah. Lots of people in China. Millions and millions. So no room. Maybe no room. So it's unfortunate. But all right. But we must agree that in the Bible they died and were buried. We must agree the Lord Jesus died and was buried. And if he'd been cremated, his bodily resurrection would not be the same. The angel told the women, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here, he's risen. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And so wherever possible, let's put it that way, wherever possible, let's be buried. My son, age 56, died 2 years ago. He was saved and born again. And he was buried. And right next to him, we have two other graves for Mrs. Waite and for me, next to our son. So when the time comes, we will be buried. If you can be buried, be buried. If you have no way to be buried, I don't know what else to do. All right. Any other question before we proceed? See, since we have some genealogies here, we have a little extra time. We're ahead of time. We have a little time for questions. And throughout the class, we'll have questions. All right, so they took the men up, and I notice in verse number 13 of chapter number 10, that's on page 14. Notice in verse 13. So Saul died for his transgression. Is it the same page? Do you have the same page numbers, Kai?
Yes.
Oh, good, yeah. Notice in verse 13, page 14 there, Saul died for his transgression, which he committed against the Lord. This is serious because God wants us to follow His word and not to be killed because of transgression. Even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not. And also, for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it. See, Saul was supposed to wait to sacrifice, wait for Samuel to come, and he didn't wait. He sacrificed when he should not have done so. Also, when Saul saw that God did not speak to him anymore, Samuel was dead. He had already banned and taken all the familiar spirits and the riches away from his kingdom. But he went to this witch of Endor and asked counsel of that witch for bringing up Samuel to ask him a question. And that was against the will of God also. And God slew Samuel, slew Saul because of the two things. Because of the witch and because of the sacrifice when he should not have sacrificed. Now, again, the Bible is against witches. It's against looking to wizards and the peep to ask counsel. The Bible is against Ouija boards and other things, trying to contact demonic spirits. It's against seances where tables jump and hop. Do they do that in China? Yes? Don't do it. God may kill you too, as he killed Saul. Stay away from the witches, the goblins, the enchanters, the satanic spirits. Stick with the Lord Jesus Christ, God's word, whoever. Just pointing these out things in Saul. And so, when notice in verse 2 of chapter 11, when Saul was king, thou wast he that led us to that. They went to David. See, in verse number 1, they gathered themselves together to David at Hebron. And they said to David, when Saul was king, thou wast he that led us to Zion, brought us in Israel, the Lord thy God was with unto thee. So David's reputation was good and was fine, and the people of Israel wanted him to be king instead of Saul. And so David made a covenant there in verse 3 with them in Hebron, and they anointed David king over Israel according to the word of the Lord. And so now David becomes the king. And in verse 4, David and all Israel went to Jerusalem, which is Jebus. And they took the castle of Zion, which is the city of David. In verse number 5. And David said, whosoever smiteth the Jebusites, the chief captain. And so Joab went to battle. Now notice in verse 6, Joab was the son of Zeruiah. And that was David's aunt. Zeruiah was David's aunt. And so there was a relationship between Joab and David. And notice verse 9, David waxed greater and greater, for the Lord of hosts was with him. Notice the reason that David was greater and greater is because the Lord was with him. The Lord was not with Saul. Though Saul was tall, his spirit was tiny and small and little. And if we follow the Lord and the Lord of hosts is with us, God will increase us as well. That's a very important statement. The Lord was with him. And then in verse number 11, we talk about some of David's mighty men. There's a number of mighty men that are listed that David had. And notice in verse 14 that some of the mighty men slew the Philistines, and the Lord saved them by a great deliverance. Notice who it was that saved them from the Philistines. The Lord saved them. The power of God to save his people is very important. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we will trust in the Lord our God. As the psalmist says. And then notice these 30 captains, or these, the three of the 30 captains David had, in verse 15. They went to the rock to David into the cave of Adullam. Notice in verse 17, David was thirsty. And he didn't keep it to himself. He, out loud, he said, I longed, and all that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem. He should have kept it to himself, because these three mighty men went and got the drink for David. At the risk of their own lives, in verse 18, they break through the host of Philistines to get this water for David. In verse 18, they brought it to David, and David would not drink it, but poured it out to the Lord. It's strange these men could have been killed, but David, I don't know why he even mentioned it, but he poured it to the Lord. And verse 19, my God forbidden me that you do this thing, that I should drink the blood of these men that have put their lives in jeopardy. So that's an interesting sideline for David. Then in verse 20, there's named Abishai, the brother of Joab. And Benaiah in verse 22, the son of Jehoiada, son of valiant men. They slew two lion-like men of Joab, of Moab, and slew a lion on a snowy day. And verse number 22. These are some of the valiant deeds of these mighty men of David. In verse 23, one of them slew an Egyptian, a man of great stature, 5 cubits high. How high would that man be? How high is a cubit? That's right, about 18 inches. So a foot and a half. Foot and a half times 5 equals 7.5 feet tall. I'm 6 feet, that's a foot and a half taller than I. Big man, tall man. And the spear was like a weaver's beam in verse 23. And then in verse 25, it talks about the honorable men among the 30.
Verse 25,
And then on page 16 at the top, it talks about these 30 mighty men, chapter 11 and 12. And you see the mighty men are listed from verses 26 down to 46. And without listing all of them, notice in verse 41, Uriah the Hittite. And Uriah, you remember, goes into the sin of David in lying with Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. But he's listed as one of the mighty men of David. And then chapter 12, we see the ones that come to David to Ziklag. Notice in verse 2 the agility of these mighty men, the ability and strength. They were armed with bows and could use both right hand and left in hurling stones and shooting arrows out of the bow. They were left handed and right handed both. Very strong men. They were Saul's brethren of Benjamin. Apparently the Benjamites had a right hand and left hand ability. And then in verse number 8, they talk about the Gadites that were separated themselves unto David. And in verse 14, talks about the sons of Gad. And on page 17, we see that children of Benjamin and Judah were into the hold unto David. They went with David. Benjamin and Judah were the two tribes of the south. And they were talked about basically in this book of 1st and 2nd Chronicles. And notice in verse 17, David went out to meet them. Notice he tested them out before he really accepted them. He said in verse 17, if ye be come out peaceably unto me to help me, mine heart shall be knit unto you. But if ye be out come to betray me to my enemies, seeing there's no wrong in mine hand, the God of our fathers look thereon and rebuke it. So David was very cautious, and I think we should be cautious also. When people come to us and want to be our friends and want to help us, well, it's a little bit unkind to ask them as David did. If you come to help me, all right. If you don't, you're going to be judged. You just don't know how people are going to treat you when they come to you. When they come into your church, when they come into your school, you don't know. But David was cautious, and I think we have to be cautious as well. And so the Spirit came upon Amasai, and verse number 18, and the others. And peace be upon thee, and it says, thou son of Jesse, peace upon thee, and peace be upon thy helpers, for thy God helpeth thee. Then David received them. So David had the right response from his friends that came, and so he accepted them for what they were worth. Then notice in verse number 19, there fell some of Manasseh to David, some of the tribe of Manasseh. And he says the Philistines came against Saul to battle, but they helped him not. The Lord of the Philistines had an advisement said, saying, he will fall to his master Saul to the jeopardy of our heads.
Verse 19.
In other words, David for a time went out to help the Philistines when Saul was after him and trying to kill him. He went to the Philistines and fought against some people, and finally the Philistines didn't trust him. Then in verse 23, these are the numbers of the bands that were ready armed to the war. And so they're listed here, and see if we can find all 12 tribes. Starting with the children of Judah in verse 24, 6,800. Simeon in verse 25, 7,100. Levi verse 26, 4,600. Jehoiada was the leader of the Aaronites, that would be in Levi.
3,700.
In verse 28, Zadok. And the children of Benjamin, that goes back to Benjamin in verse 29, 3,000. In verse 30, Ephraim, 18,000. And then half the tribe of Manasseh, 18,000. And then Issachar, 200, not too many of those. Zebulun, 50,000. Verse 34, Naphtali, 1,000 captains.
And 37,000
altogether. And the Danites, in verse 35, they had 28,000. Verse 36, Asher, 40,000. Page 18, verse 37, the Reubenites and the Gadites. So let's count them up, see if we got 12 tribes. You count at your desk, I'll count at my desk and see who comes up with the number. Starting with Judah at verse 24. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I got all 12 there. Did you find 12?
Yeah.
So the question that they asked before, why aren't they all included? Well, maybe back there, but now we got them, see?
Answer
some questions before we take our next break. Or comments.
How did they test us? Nobody
told me about a test. I could make one up if you wish. I could ask you all the 12 tribes of Israel and how many thousands in each tribe. You have to consult with the the ones, the leaders, and see whether they want something in the way of a test.
Who are the leaders?
The ones in charge of the course. Father Dr. Huang. She's the one that asked me to come to talk about this. Usually she asked me to come talk to about the King James Bible, the Bible text. But she said that she said, do you speak on anything else than that? I said yes. I gave a list of maybe 10 or 20, 30 different topics. None of which was First and Second Chronicles. So she picked that out. I said, all right, we'll try it.
So what are the rest?
Oh, different things. I can't even remember what they all are. But they're in my files. I just listed up all in the files, see? All kinds of subjects. But anyway, other question before we... Yes, sir. Yeah, I got 30, because half tribal Manasseh, see? Ephraim and Manasseh. Take 10 minutes when you hear the bell. Come back at 11. We'll have more questions when we come back. All right? Take a rest. Thank you.